You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am joined by my regular hosts, Ryan.
Hi.
And Derek.
Hello.
And Derek is moving up and down, and it's crazy. We are going to be talking about a lot of trailers tonight. We're going to be discussing some news, as always. So, got a fun-filled, multi-topic episode for you tonight. First things first, news. So, let's see here. The Saved by the Bell reboot has cast its youngins, who are people like Jesse Spano's sensitive man-child.
Yeah, I like that description. I was like, this yep. seems slightly offensive.
Yeah, the word man-child is never good.
Wait, I'm sorry. That's what the role calls
That's
for?
That's what the like, call sheet or whatever. Yeah.
Jamie Spano, Jesse's oversensitive man-child.
That's literally what it said.
Cool.
And then Mac Morris, Zach's privileged son.
Yeah, they had to make it rhyme with his name. Just to
Zach's son is Mac.
Yeah. But we haven't said whether it's Kelly's the mom or what.
I bet they let that go past the first episode before Screech, they tell anybody.
I wonder if Screech is going to be in it. Maybe he can rub some poop on somebody's upper lip like he did in the sex tape.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for us tonight, everybody.
That did happen, by the way.
Show over.
That's a real thing. I'm not making that up. Look it up.
Yeah, it's true. There.
Okay, so we're back. Back. Sorry for any technical issues that we are having, which is apparently a lot.
But just in case you need a recap, we were discussing Dustin Diamond giving someone a dirty Sanchez.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Which actually happened.
Not on Saved by the Bell, though.
No, this was well after Saved by the Bell with a sex tape. The one person on that show that you would not want
to see in a sex tape.
Yeah. Screech.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. So
no word if he's going to be in the show or not.
I'm going to imagine not.
Probably not. His tell all biography about it was filled with like some drug fueled lies that no one would corroborate. So I'm going to say that he has burned some bridges.
I've heard he's just a huge jerk in real life. So.
I saw his stand up in like 2006 or something like that. I snuck into an over 21 club and I saw it, and it was bad. Like, he wasn't funny. It was just awful and awkward because my dad was the one that like came with me, and halfway through we both just look at each other and we're like, do you want to leave? This is weird.
You snuck into a comedy club with your dad?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no rebuttal. I was just clarifying.
Okay.
In other childhood news, Disney Plus announced, of course, they had already announced that they were going to be making a Mighty Ducks TV series, and I at least assumed it was a reboot, but they are bringing back Emilio Estevez to the show.
Say that again. Estevez.
How do you say it?
Estevez.
Yeah. Estevez?
How he says
that's
it.
That's how it's pronounced.
I'm sorry. I haven't heard him speak at all in 20 years. So
Charlie Sheen's real name is Ramon Estevez.
So Emilio Sheen is coming back to Mighty Ducks, and I assume that means it's not a reboot and it's a sequel of some kind.
With the exact same story as the first movie, judging by the description of it.
But
it basically sounds like the first movie, except in TV show form.
If they do this, then I'm hoping season two is the exact same as the second movie. Yeah. And they have people
same
from
countries and everything.
Yeah, they have people from all over the world as stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the guy from Texas has to be a cowboy.
Yeah, with like guns all on his hips and everything. Yeah.
The guy from Florida is like literally riding a gator. That's how he
That'd
skates.
Be perfect.
But come on, the new uniforms in the second movie were better than the green ones. Let's be honest.
We know that.
I hope they reuse those exact same uniforms.
I don't think they can, because they're basically the uniforms for the actual Mighty Ducks NHL team, so they're very, very similar.
What was the stupid country they faced off that had like pink tie-dye uniforms?
I don't know. In the second movie? I really just remember Iceland.
Well, yeah, because they were the bad guys.
Yeah, they were the bad guys.
Iceland's always the bad guys.
One person who will not be returning for this show probably would be the goalie from the original movie. We just saw 5 minutes before this started that he's been booked for meth possession. And
this is not his first charge. Past 10 years have been rough for Goldberg. But
That's sad.
Like, yeah, we don't want anybody to have to go through
like
that
being
stuff.
Like, well, the Screech thing, like being a bad comedian and doing porn, like we can kind of poke fun at that.
It wasn't actually porn; it was a sex tape.
Whatever. This is sad, though.
Yeah,
it bums me out. He just looks unrecognizable.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, it was a burglary charge, like I don't know, 10 years ago, and then it turned into like possession of meth, and yeah, it's a bad deal. But I'm guessing he's not going to be back on the show. But again, no confirmation. So right. You know, Screech and this dude Goldberg could come back.
In all fairness, the second movie added another goalie. They got Cat.
Oh, so. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, they did. But they're like all Kat like 40 now, so it doesn't really matter.
No, they should all still be playing. They should be pros at this point.
Do you think that's what Emilio's doing? Is he's coaching like an adult, like,
oh God,
rec team?
Like all 40-year-olds at like, yeah.
Here's my problem. I don't think there are any like simple, fun kids sports movies anymore, which kind of sucked because they were some of my favorite growing up as a kid. Like,
it's because the Golden Retrievers took over with like the Air Bud stuff. And
that's
everything.
A Disney problem too. Like they were responsible for that. But like, I watched Little Giants and Rookie of the Year and The Big Green, and like those were on repeat at my house. I was like
that little nerd kid flexing in the mirror.
Yeah, it was so cute. It was perfect.
You never saw that?
No, I did. It's fine.
Like they don't make movies like those anymore, and those are like stupid Disney Channel movies, mm-hmm. like Luck of the Irish, and for some reason it's like the guy's half a leprechaun and he's playing basketball for Notre Dame or something like that. It was dumb.
Has Bud the Golden Retriever got a hockey movie yet? I don't recall seeing a hockey one.
I think they're on like the third or fourth Bud by now.
Well, I know it's not the same dog. I'm just saying
now
the franchise.
They're on the Buddies, I don't want to kill them. Where they just get puppies every time.
The Buddyverse, you know?
It's Buddies. They don't use a like adult Golden Retriever.
Not anymore. Well, they went to space, didn't they?
The Space Buddies.
Space Buddies.
And there were Santa Buddies. And
they went off the rail. They're like, we're out of sports. What are we going to do now?
Space.
I must have missed the ping pong one.
But I mean, that's the next step for Fast and Furious. Like, Fast 10 is going to be in space or something.
Or Fast 9 could be in space. That's like, true. We don't know yet.
Speaking of, they released a poster for Fast 9 today. Oh, did they actually release a teaser?
Oh, my God. So the teaser started off really cute. Dom's hanging out with like his 3-year-old kid who's, you know, he's teaching him mechanics on a car and everything, and it's adorable. And then he's tucking him into bed, and Letty comes in and gives him the necklace, and he's like, you'll need this protection for everything that's to come. I'm like, God, please don't go after a 3-year-old. Like, don't
wait.
Make
they give it to that. Give that to the 3-year-old.
Yeah,
the kid's gonna have to fight Jason Statham or something.
Hobbs and Shaw versus Child.
Bring back Luke Evans for revenge.
So it seems like this film is officially called F9, and they've tagged on the Fast Saga now to the naming.
Which means now they can make as many as they want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you get 9 in a saga, right? That's what Star Wars did. There's just 9.
No, I mean, there's 10, because Hobbs and Shaw is part of the Fast Saga.
Is it officially?
Yeah.
The Fast Verse.
The Fast Verse?
Yeah.
I like Furious Verse.
Vin Verse.
F&F Verse.
No, because he's not in Hobbs and Shaw.
No, but it's
kind
of his
universe.
And he's
not in 2 either.
It's kind of his universe.
He's not really in 3 either.
He's not.
But
he is
in 3, though.
He does it in a post-credit scene.
Oh my God, what if the bad guy is Zombie Han?
Don't joke about that. Justice for Han. Justice for Han.
I like Han. I want him
to
come back.
Justice for Han. He's dead.
Maybe he's a Force ghost.
Oh God. Look, they're superheroes. They're not Jedi. All right?
I'm not coming up with anything more ridiculous than what the writers already have.
I'm not putting it past them to have some sort of laser sword in the next movie. So
a laser sword is not necessarily a lightsaber. Those are not necessarily the same thing. So, all right. So in other Disney news, because we were talking about the Disney Plus Mighty Ducks series, they, and this is terrible, terrible news, they've officially canceled the Howard the Duck show.
Yeah, they canceled some of their cartoons.
And it sounds like actually the Offenders whole thing has been canceled. I mean, there's still some of the shows coming out, but from the sounds of it, several of the characters that were going to be in the Offenders are no longer getting shows. So.
The MODOK show is the only one that's still officially greenlit, as far as I know. Now, some others may be in development. They're just keeping quiet about it right now. But that's because they released the whole voice cast for MODOK. And then they officially canceled Howard the Duck. And then they also canceled Tigra and Dazzler, which they were supposed to team up. So that's a bummer because I really like Howard the Duck. And I was looking forward to like an actual new incarnation of him. But, you know, it's fine. It's whatever. So that's gone. Am I the only one disappointed?
I would have watched it, but I wasn't like particularly excited for it. I was more excited for the Offenders as a group than...
That's fair.
The problem is the movies have overshadowed the cartoons for the last decade, and the cartoons have been really solid. So this does kind of bum me out. They play along really well with their cartoons. I'm actually more disappointed that we're not going to get live-action MODOK because, for fuck's sake, that would be so ridiculous and weird. And they've already introduced AIM. They might as well just bring me, like, floating baby head.
I mean, give it time, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Right? I mean, by phase five, they're going to start running out of things to do. So,
Fang Foom is next on my list that I want to see.
Yeah, because now they get all the X-Men and space villains and stuff. That's true. So, you know, they get to play with Dr. Doom and Galactus and
I am so not excited
Mr.
about
Mr. Sinister.
That.
Sorry.
I just don't have high expectations for anything using the Fantastic Four or the mutants at this point.
I just like that they're talking about mixing it up. You know, Namor is rumored to be in the Eternals, and
I thought he was going to be in Black Panther 2.
No, that's Doctor Doom is rumored to be in Black Panther.
It was supposed to be the King versus the King in Black Panther 2 originally. Namor,
it's Victor Von Doom is the King of Latveria.
I thought it was supposed to be Namor that was in Black Panther 2. Maybe I read it wrong, but. Either way, yeah, they're definitely getting some introductions in there. But they've had the rights to Namor for a while, haven't they?
No, Universal had him.
Yeah, Universal
had
Hulk.
Who am I thinking of?
Namor.
They had the rights to something that came back to him when Punisher came back to him.
I'm not sure.
It was Ghost Rider.
I thought somebody else. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But I'm glad they're getting some of this stuff out. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be cool to see some of these characters join the MCU.
Yeah. So Black Panther 2 and Blade 2 and Blade and Captain Marvel 2 are the confirmed films for Phase 5. And
cool.
Loki has already started shooting. They've got a couple set videos that they've released.
Paul Bettany said that we're going to get more WandaVision coming up soon.
There's rumors it'll be a Super Bowl teaser.
Oh, really? I heard that it was going to be with Black Widow. That was the rumor I heard. It was going to be a post-credit
Black
Widow.
That is so weird that Winter Soldier and Captain Falcon start before WandaVision.
And it's gotten like nothing.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so two. I want to touch on both of those things because I think they're both important. So first, I think the Super Bowl thing will be a teaser. That will basically be a tie-in to Black Widow to kind of help pump up Black Widow. And then, Ray, to your point, I think Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier is just an easier sell to people. Everyone knows these characters. People love these characters.
Yeah, WandaVision doesn't... I mean, when you think of that, it doesn't sound like a Marvel show. You
no.
know?
It's also a much weirder concept. Yeah. I mean, Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to be a pretty standard MCU kind of...
I'm hoping that they really go hard with the social topics because that's what Captain America is. He is a social justice warrior. And if you don't believe me, open up the 1940s comics. So I'm hoping they do that.
There were some set photos that released. Did you see those of U.S. Agent?
Yeah.
He looks really good.
He looks really great. Awesome. Plus, he had the cap shield, so that's kind of curious. So if they made Falcon give it up or what?
Maybe they made a replica and it's not vibranium or something. But
and we were talking about how if they don't bring back Thunderbolt Ross or Martin Freeman's character, it'd be kind of a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it would be great if they touch on that type of stuff. But since it's a Disney Plus show, I don't know how hard they're going to hit anything controversial.
Well, Anthony Mackie said that they are going to touch on the racism because Marvel had a lot of backlash when they made Sam Wilson Captain America in the comics. And, you know, they got a lot of backlash when he handed him the shield in Endgame. So they're going to touch on it. I just don't know how heavy it's going to be.
Yeah, I can't imagine it'll be very heavy handed because it's Disney.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, this is their mainstream thing, and they've already said that, like, The Mandalorian's as adult as it gets. And it didn't really – The Mandalorian doesn't really touch on anything controversial. No, maybe there's some like violence.
But, yeah, there's some scary imagery, too, like the stormtrooper helmets on Pike. So we're not sure whether or not there's heads inside.
There's a guy getting chopped in half by a door. You know, there's some stuff like that.
Spoiler alert.
Which you're laughing about because it's funny.
Was it? Was that in the trailer? I don't remember that.
That's how they ended the trailer.
Was the guy getting cut in half?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember the helmets on the spikes, but okay. So there is one other news piece I wanted to talk about because
there's more than one other news piece, but yes, go ahead.
That I wanted to talk about because I it's something that we can kind of relate to as podcasters here, and it has to do with Netflix. So Netflix has long kind of kept their doors locked on their metrics for viewership, how many people have watched a thing. They talk about, oh, this is our highest streaming whatever at the time, but what does that mean? And now that they're having movies released that are being Oscar contenders and things of that nature, it's becoming a more serious question, because how do you compare a Netflix film to something that actually released with a full box office? And so historically, the way it used to work is you had to watch 70% of the thing for it to count as a view.
Okay.
Whether that was 70% of a season, 70% of a film, you had to get to that mark for it to count as a view for that thing, that entity. Well, they decided to change those numbers, and now they're basically changing it down. Let's see. I want to make sure I get this information correct here.
Okay.
So basically the quote here is saying the new metric is about 35% higher on average than the prior metric. It's 2 minutes. If you watch 2 minutes of the thing, it counts as a view now.
That's stupid. I give that amount of time for a comedy special, and if the comedian doesn't have, like, a couple jokes in the first, you know, 5 minutes that I laugh at, then I turn it off. So I think
that's dumb. Do I have to watch that much to be able to review it? Because I really want to give Goop a thumbs down, and
my God,
I don't want to watch 2 minutes of it.
So I just think that's really interesting, because in the podcast world, in order for an episode to not be considered abandoned, you have to reach the 2 minute mark.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And so if someone were to start an episode of our show and stop within the first 120 seconds, it's considered an abandoned listen.
Okay.
And it's tracked differently as far as the metrics are concerned. There's some additional metrics in there as well, depending on who hosts your podcast. They actually can get fairly granular. So I'm curious, like, what do you guys think about Netflix using a 2 minute mark as a metric for this has been viewed?
I think Netflix is greedy and they're starting to cheat and behave like a soulless movie studio now.
I mean, I think it's their network, so they can do it however they want. I mean, realistically, they're not going to release the full numbers anyway.
Right.
You know, it's all an internal metric, so it doesn't really affect us at all.
But if they're competing with traditional films, should they have to?
But does a show or movie have to be viewed over an X amount of times to qualify for an Oscar?
Not to qualify for an Oscar, but things like box office and Rotten Tomatoes scores and things like that are relevant in media and how things are covered.
Sure, but that doesn't mean, I mean, Netflix doesn't have to give those numbers. It doesn't affect anything. I mean, they just won't have anything on Rotten Tomatoes or,
you know, well, I agree it doesn't have to do it. I'm just asking you if you think they should do it.
Look, I like talking about box office and stuff like that, but I mean, for streaming networks, it doesn't really matter, I don't think. If I enjoyed it and it seems like there's a lot of people tweeting about it or whatever, then that's the metric I can use to know whether it's being viewed a lot. And actually, a lot of news, when you look at articles and stuff, when they're talking about Netflix shows and streaming shows that don't release numbers, that's how they measure the impact of that particular show, is how many times has this hashtag been used or, you know, this show been mentioned. So,
yeah, that's totally fair. I don't know. Netflix it just seems like more often than not they have the advantage. But if they want to be considered full contenders, you know, well, it's a lot easier for people to watch Netflix than it is to go get movie tickets and the like. So
yeah,
it seems like they have a bit of an edge. Okay.
So one thing I want to ask you guys about, maybe you could shed some light on it. So we got a Matt Reeves tweeted out a photo of the clapper for the Batman and said production started. But haven't we seen set photos like 2 weeks ago?
Well, those could have been rehearsals.
Or costume designs or building or things like that. So production.
I mean, isn't that part of production?
Well, I think he meant filming. Filming officially started.
Yeah, because you're right. Production means like the day everybody first shows up to work and they start getting going on sets.
Yeah,
and
it just seemed weird to me that he would tweet out production has started and we've seen like set photos of Colin Farrell and
I think he meant Robert filming, Pattinson, honestly.
And... Yeah, probably. He
do you think
misspoke.
That means we're close to a bat suit reveal? Do you think they're going to try and get ahead of that?
I don't know. I mean, they could do a fake leak type scenario if they're happy with it. I mean,
yeah, if they're happy with it, we'll see it sooner rather than later.
It would be nice to just wait until there's like a cool poster or teaser or something to actually see it.
That's
a change.
The thing. Is, you know, it's not going to happen. The people already getting set photos of, Oswald and the Batmobile, they're going to be doing outdoor shoots in the middle of some big city here in the next month. So the Batmobile is going to leak, you know. So
if there is one.
They've already said it's more muscle car than tank.
I'd really love it, though, if, like, the first time we fully see the Batsuit would be, like, on display at SDCC.
I do want to see leaked photos, but also I'd just rather have an official reveal first, and that way it's not... Because remember when Shazam came out, and everybody was like, why is his suit not textured? It looks so plain, like a red spandex suit. And it's like, that's what he looked like in the comics, but... everybody
was
judging
textured.
It really harshly. Yeah, and then you got and saw real pictures, and it looked way better.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, leaked photos never do any justice. We destroyed the Titans photos based on leaked photos, and that's not cool, because we all ended up loving the show.
It's true.
Yeah, I think those complaints were where people were just hoping to see, like...
comic-accurate costumes.
Not even comic-accurate, but just costumes. Most of them just wear clothes. You know, they're not even really suited up, like, let alone being comic-accurate suited up.
So that leads me to a recent like Twitter debate that I keep seeing. Birds of Prey comes out in about a week and a half, and I see a ton of guys complain that they removed all the sex appeal from all the characters. Harley, Huntress, Black Canary. Do you guys think that's true, or do you find any of them attractive whatsoever?
I think it's kind of a... I mean, I don't know.
Just personally.
The superhero costume doesn't give the character a sex appeal. It can add to it, but the sex appeal of the character is, you know, their behavior and things like that. Black Canary, the relationship with her and, like, Oliver Queen in the comics is what sells the character for me, and her being awesome in general. And I haven't seen the movie, so, you know, just glancing at her, she's a beautiful woman, and, I mean... She doesn't need to be wearing fishnets and a leather jacket to be sexy, you know?
Yeah, I'm just not sure those looks, like, fit a real-world movie anymore. Like, I mean, it's kind of why Scarlet Witch didn't have a comic-accurate costume either. I think it kind of doesn't translate well anymore.
Yeah.
In the 90s, you could try and pull it off, and even in the early 2000s, because it was still... Things were still a little more silly, but...
And it translates to animation just fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, they've done a good job with, like, the Arrow show, the way they did the fishnets on Black Canary, the third Black Canary. you know, just kind of incorporating that as a design aspect to the costume without having her wear just fishnets and bare legs. You know, so they could do stuff like that in the future, but for now, this is just, like, the first introduction to the characters. I mean, it's...
I just don't understand it. Like, all three of them are showing midriff. Like, that's... last time I checked, that was considered sexy, so...
I mean, I think it's kind of silly, honestly, because everybody... all of these guys have thought Margot Robbie is hot in other films that she's done.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is a very attractive woman. I've always thought that she was really cute and stuff. So like, I think it's disingenuous, and I think it's just on purpose from people who don't want to like it.
They're just mad there's not a comic.
You know?
I'll tell you, I think it's irritating that Harley is wearing a shirt that says Harley Quinn on it all over the place in the trailer. It's like, what? Why?
Because she went to Hot Topic and picked it up.
I guess. I mean, that's probably accurate, but it's, you know, like, is this supposed to be Deadpool?
If like, I was an up-and-coming villain or hero, right, I would have my name out there so people wouldn't name me like the Blur or something. So
I think part of the issue is we've gotten to a point where rather than seeing a movie and deciding that you didn't like it, people are just going into a movie wanting to not like it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this happened with The Last Jedi and Solo. This happened with Captain Marvel. It looks like some people are doing it, but not as many with Birds of Prey. Maybe because that one's flying a little more under the radar for whatever reason. But
it's flying.
That was unintentional.
Bird pun.
But I feel like that's just kind of how people are going into things now.
Yeah.
You know, that's not really fair to anybody involved because it doesn't give anyone a chance to surprise you or to either be good or bad. How do you know how good a movie is if you automatically are trying to hate it?
And, you know, sometimes us, on the other hand, we dig down because there's so much internet hate towards it that we like it out of spite. And
we're usually pretty critical.
Yeah, we try and be.
You know?
Yeah, but still, we've like.
If I think a bunch of the criticism online is not fair to the movie, yeah, then I'll dig deep for the good things.
Right.
Where I might not do that on another movie, just because I don't want to be in just another number of a person that's throwing more hate at the movie. If I can be something better, and the movie deserves it, you know.
Right.
We'll see if Birds of Prey is deserving of that.
Most of the time, I leave a theater super excited because I enjoy the film experience. There's very few movies I've seen where I walk out and I'm disappointed. And then I think critically on it when either we review it or we discuss it just as friends later on. And that's when I'm like, oh yeah, that wasn't a good movie. But during, I remember seeing Wolverine Origins at the midnight showing, and I had fun because it was super action packed and the theater was being really good. And like, it was just a fun environment. So just watching it was a good time. And I don't tend to get down on movies till right after, and I'm like, oh, right.
Oh, right. Those claws, really, the CGI.
Yeah. Oh, no. I immediately thought that was
Yeah,
bad.
That was not good.
I mean, that was Suicide Squad for me.
Yes.
Right? Because I really liked it the first time I saw it, and then we rewatched it, and I was like, damn.
Didn't Justice League do the same thing for you?
I have not
rewatched it. We
you
left.
Really
yeah,
I didn't like Justice League from the first
right,
viewing,
but you'll like it less.
So I don't. But I already don't like it, and I'm unhappy with it. Like, that's different.
But you'll be able to pick out all like the Whedon versus Snyder moments now.
Going a lot of them were pretty obvious.
Sure, but you'll be able to
that's not like being a studied, you know, cinephile. This is the two most opposite directors on the planet doing the same
pretty
movie.
Close.
The best thing that came out of that Justice League movie was the poster they released. Like
the art going up to the movie was really good,
just like the Alex Ross drawing. Yeah, that was the best part.
There was a lot of really good art, like the poster work and stuff for the movie. I actually, all of those artists did a really, really good job.
I agree.
They just didn't know what they were getting themselves involved with, but all those people, like, really fantastic work.
Yeah,
I did all of them. I really loved all those posters because I get them in my Facebook memories because I was sharing all of them like crazy, right. You know, and there was that one that was like kind of a sepia tone where it was like all of them kind of standing across.
Yeah.
You know, and I had that as like my timeline, like cover photo or whatever for a while. And like that was still gorgeous.
Didn't somebody like badly Photoshop Shazam into it later on, like
yeah,
a
probably.
Few months later? Like everybody else was still in sepia tone and he was like bright red.
I'd be okay with that.
So I have one more piece of news back to Netflix. Netflix and Apple are vying for MGM. They're going to try and purchase MGM from Disney.
It makes weird no sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, why?
I don't know.
Why MGM? They don't have their own streaming service. So there's not an infrastructure purchase.
MGM is like synonymous with the golden age of Hollywood. You know, they own Wizard of Oz and they own
James Bond.
Yeah. So
well, they co-own James Bond.
Right.
That's complicated.
So, like, what, you get streaming rights to a lot of Turner Classic Movies that we can watch on Turner Classic Movies if we wanted to?
Well, is that Indiana Jones MGM, I think?
I don't know.
Because I think if you go...
The problem is, most of the big franchises, if MGM owns anything, it's like a small piece of the pie. Like, Disney owns the majority of Indiana Jones, and MGM doesn't, so...
Well, my Indiana Jones box certainly says Paramount on it, but I could have sworn like
they might have the distribution rights.
Maybe that's what it is. Because like I remember at MGM Studios, like the theme park thing, they have the Indiana Jones experience where it's like a live show that they put on and stuff.
Yeah, but Disney has always owned Indiana Jones, so it may not have been MGM. It just could have been the best place for that ride and experience.
Maybe. So,
that's all.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think...
I never looked that closely because it is one of the older companies. They don't churn out any of the really big franchises anymore.
Anyway, it's another issue, you know, absorbing former studios is...
But this one's already absorbed, so like I don't...
Pretty much, but like, I don't know.
I think it would make more sense for Apple and Netflix to work together. I understand that want, right? Because you have a hardware company and then you have a streaming company and they can join forces and that could be very powerful. But I don't know why MGM is the pin in that. I don't know.
Well, I imagine it's because the rights are up soon.
Yeah, there's got to be some rights there that they really want.
Yeah. They just really want to stream Casablanca over and over again.
So the last piece of news that I had was DC related, kind of backtracking to that a little bit, and it's about Justice League Dark.
I think this is the third time you said the last piece of news you have, just FYI.
Oh, look no. at him shrink like that.
I said I had one more that I wanted to cover, but I thought you wanted to talk about
this. I probably
this.
Do, whatever it is, yeah.
So I was just trying to be a good co-host and friend, Ryan.
Friend you are.
I thought you'd want to talk about Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' production company. Is developing a Justice League Dark film and TV series.
It's called Justice League Dark, and he's just going to add lens flare.
It's going to be dark lens flare, though.
Like black light lens flare.
Anti-lens flare. On the character, you know, like Swamp Thing is going to be green.
Oh, nice. You know, I mean, black light would work for Orchid.
That's true.
She's yeah. just like
black this light would work for a lot of the characters of the Justice League Dark, actually.
Constantine, Zatanna, yeah, exactly. Deadman.
It's true. I mean, I don't know. J.J. Abrams has some good stuff under his belt. I'm not sure that he'd be my pick.
He also has some lazy stuff under his belt.
It's just his company.
Yeah,
so that's
he's not officially involved.
Right. It's, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. We don't really know anything about it. I don't know anything about Bad Robot. Have they even done anything yet? What movies have they released?
Well, I mean they've pretty... mostly J.J. Abrams stuff. All three Star Trek films.
Oh, those were Bad Robot
Super
productions.
8.
Super 8. Yeah.
Super 8 was good.
Lost was attached to Bad Robot for a while. Okay.
And all
of
those
J.J.
Abrams has had a pretty good focus on. So it's likely that he'll be at the very least a producer, you know.
Yeah.
On the film. I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends what direction they go with it. It's tough to say at this point. It's very early.
I'm on board with that. I need to know the director and I need to know like the primary three or four characters they're going with.
Yeah, is it truly Justice League Dark or is it just like the Justice League Dark characters? Are they doing like a Zatanna movie? Are they doing like a Constantine movie?
And right.
What? Are they bringing Keanu Reeves back?
Because there's
what's going on?
10 characters they could do. And knowing like the core three or four that they're going
to
focus on.
I'm hoping
on
for the Frankenstein movie, to be honest.
That would be fun. Frankenstein's such a fun character.
I will say this. Given the Keanu renaissance that we have right now.
I love that. We should call this the Keanu renaissance. The Keanu. Like this is just the time.
Right.
You know, it's not the Baroque period.
It's the Keanu period.
It's the Keanu period.
If you were going to somehow make his Constantine film canon, this would be the time to do it because this is like he's incredibly popular. Everyone loves him. You know,
he's talked about going back to that character multiple times because he had fun playing him.
I mean, you could do it. There's no reason that movie can't be included in the continuity. It's so standalone.
Right.
Nothing.
And it wasn't bad. I don't know why people trash it. It's a fine adaptation.
I barely remember it because I saw it when it first came out. So it's been a long time.
And Rachel Weisz could have turned out to be Madame Xanadu or Orchid.
I've liked that movie since it came out. I mean, it wasn't necessarily like super true to, you know, every bit of Constantine's backstory, but it was enjoyable. Yeah. Keanu Reeves was good in it. A lot of the stuff was handled really well. But if they don't do an Etrigan movie, then I'm going to riot.
Man, that would be so hard to write.
No, that would be what makes it so great. Because if it was actually good, you know that writer spent so much time.
Here's the thing: if they can make Thor work on screen, where you know they just borrow from Norse mythology, they can make Etrigan work on screen. It's a similar thing. He's the Arthurian fairy tales.
I say make it a fucking full period piece, and then at the very end, have him meet
like
up
Captain
with Constantine
America
or something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
those aren't my concerns. It's the rhyming that I think would be the hard thing to do and have it work as a.
But
film.
He only does that as the demon. So you know, honestly, the first movie would most likely be more human to demon time.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I mean, you get to see Merlin, and you get to see King Arthur, and it's you know, you can
Morgan.
Make it a very classic. You know, kind of medieval story, magic story, and then at the very end, like have the tie into the more modern JLD universe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that would be awesome.
And then, you know, if he's part of a whole ensemble of characters, he's not talking all the time. So, you know, the rhyming doesn't get annoying.
No, that,
you know,
totally with you there. I was thinking solo film, and I wasn't really thinking about it only being when he's not human.
Yeah.
I just don't want him to be a side character. He'd be a really cool, unique character that's way different than anything Marvel has out right now.
They could always do a TV show. It's not hard to just film in a British forest and be like, this is Arthurian.
And they did say movies and TV, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they could do a DC Universe show or an HBO Max show.
Which would be cool.
And then it could be really violent too, which would be great.
I don't see DCU getting anything new to itself. You know, even Stargirl is being dual cast. Doom Patrol season 2 is dual cast. Dual released cast isn't the right word. But
right.
Different. You know, the one's going to the CW as a dual cast. The other one's going to HBO Max
right.
as a dual cast.
Right, not even the same freaking service. Yeah. So, I do not expect DCU to get beyond 2020.
That's fair.
So,
do you guys want to take a break?
I mean, sure, we can take a break.
It's 8:40.
Okay, let's take a break.
Okay.
All right,
we'll be
right back.
Recently on the Heroes Podcast Network, Echo Station.
Well, what's the main planet that Endor, the forest moon of Endor? It's a moon. So there's a major planet, obviously, that it...
Is the forest moon of Endor? Is Endor the actual planet then?
See, isn't that confusing?
Yes.
Is it the forest moon of the planet Endor, or is it the forest moon called Endor?
Kaiju Curry House.
It got to the point where he started climbing the Empire State Building, and my mom is like, he's not gonna die, is he?
Oh no.
My mom doesn't know shit about these films, but anyways, it was just like, Mom, this doesn't end well for Kong. And she's just like, I can't watch the rest of this. Turn it off. I'm like, you can't get to this point in Peter Jackson's King Kong 2 hours and like whatever many minutes later and not watch the end.
Screen Heroes.
The nipples just were confusing to me because they just... They just make no sense.
That is our clip, by the way.
But I mean, male nipples are kind of confusing anyway. So.
Right? Like,
well,
they serve
true.
Zero
that's
purpose.
True. Do you think that was the point he was trying to make?
It's a much deeper message, yes.
Is Batman and Robin a heavily
an allegory?
Social allegory?
Yeah.
Subscribe today at heroespodcast.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Podcast Addict, and more.
All right, guys, we are back. We are going to quickly talk about some trailers here. So coming up next is Birds of Prey. We've talked about this a couple times. There's been 2 real trailers so far. What are your thoughts about the trailers alone? If you didn't know anything else about the movie.
I think if you really didn't know anything else about the movie or these characters, and like maybe Harley is the only person that you know, I'm not sure this movie really draws you in because it's a lot of characters that might be a little confusing.
Okay.
I think. And I think they know it because at least in the second trailer, they actually have shots where they throw up the characters' names rather than the actors' names, which is a rare thing to see in a trailer.
I'm actually hoping that they remove that from the movie because I found that really distracting in Suicide Squad.
Oh, I thought that was one of the better parts of Suicide Squad.
We disagree about everything.
No, we all agree that Suicide Squad is not very good.
And we like the same things from the movie. Like, we were all surprisingly impressed with Captain Boomerang. That did not have to be as good as it was.
And Slipknot.
Right, of course. I mean, who can forget?
Poor Adam Beach. He's never going to have a real career.
He can climb anything.
I hope they bring him back in the reboot or whatever this next one is.
It's a sequel. Like, I know it's not, like, there's just been a change of what the word sequel means to meaning it has to be a directly embedded connection to the previous film, and I don't know why that's ever the case.
Yeah,
that's not what that means. It's a continue. It's the same characters that were already in a thing, and this is them again. It doesn't, the stories don't actually have to connect to each other.
It took about 30 seconds for us to get off topic.
It did.
No,
sorry.
It's all good.
Those were my thoughts.
Okay.
On that.
Ryan, your thoughts?
I mean, I've talked about it before, but I really hate that this is called Birds of Prey, and then it's basically a Harley Quinn movie. I don't find her endearing or charming at all. But I like that the movie is rated R. I like that there's a scene where she apparently breathes in a bunch of cocaine and then goes crazy on
that
people because
hilarious.
That was the most believable Harley Quinn
right.
part for me. I'm very excited. Black Canary's scream in the second trailer looks really cool, especially since I think we've only seen the CW one in live action.
In live action, yeah.
So that was really neat. Huntress looks pretty badass. I'm excited for it. I hope that they get a good amount of screen time. That's my only real scare from the trailers. Harley gets 80% of the screen time, and it's just like background shots of the other ones.
Yeah.
Well, you do have some good actors. I mean, Margot Robbie is nominated, you know, at this point, and McGregor's great playing Black Mask. I mean, I think that's you have a good actor.
I was reading an interview with Margot that she did a couple days ago, and WB pretty much offered her two options. She could do Birds of Prey or she could do Gotham City Sirens. And they handed her the two runs of the comics that have Harley starring in them. So the Amanda Connor, Jimmy Palmiotti run on Birds of Prey had Harley as one of the three. It was Huntress, Black Canary, and Harley as the Birds of Prey. And then the Gotham City Sirens, done by somebody else, she just found the Birds of Prey comic better, and it was more feminist. Like, I swear the 6-issue run on Gotham City Sirens had like 3 sleepovers, and most of them were like practically naked, and she was like, that's not a story. So
no, but I bet the fanboys would have been happy about that, the ones
right,
that are complaining.
Exactly.
That's what they're mad about
enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But she has every intention, like, if you follow Margot on Facebook or Twitter, she is like adding Zoe Kravitz, who is going to be Catwoman. You know, the two of them still want to star together. They just didn't want to do that storyline right now. So
I think that my problem is I know Harley has been involved in the Birds of Prey before.
Sure, yeah.
But it's not who you think about when you think of the Birds of Prey. So,
no.
I mean, there's been a lot of people in the Birds of Prey.
Oh,
really.
Yeah.
If you go look at the list, probably a lot of them are short-lived, but, you know.
I mean,
the only
other character that would have been just as prolific is Batgirl.
Right, and
you
that's
know?
Who I
It's not think like of. Hawk and Doug would Hawk and Dove would really work right now.
Hawk
or
and Duck. That'd be great.
Quack.
Oh, now you did it. I didn't even
I
do it.
I was going to make fun of Lady Hawk because I always disliked her. But
but Batgirl is who, when I think Birds of Prey,
yeah,
that's the third for me.
But it goes back to the confusion part, because I think for a casual viewer, someone who doesn't know these characters or doesn't know the comic book, the Birds of Prey name doesn't have any real recognition for them. And it is surprising that they didn't just go with Harlequin, because people know Margot Robbie and people know that character fairly well nowadays, especially because of Suicide Squad. So I think that just would have been easier to market.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's these other characters, and, you know, maybe they're really great and you'll love them too and want to find out about them. But at least that's the selling point, is just it's Harley.
Right. I'm hoping that this means that Harley goes off and does a Gotham City Sirens movie and Birds of Prey gets their own sequel with, you know, Batgirl involved, and Karen Gillan gets to be Batgirl, because I would love that.
I'm cool with that.
Bring Green Arrow in, please.
And give Cassandra Cain her full outfit, so there's like two rival Batgirls.
Da-da-da. But also bring Green Arrow in, please.
Sure, yeah. Catman.
He doesn't have to be part of it. I just wanted to like go to him for intel or
something. No, man, Catman was part of the Birds of Prey at one point.
That'd
and
be weird.
He's a very weird character.
I do think that it would be funny for them to play out the scene with Harley in Arrow's like lair. Yeah. I think that would be great to see in live action. Personally, I would love that.
Yeah.
You can make it Stephen Amell.
It would translate
care.
Really well, but I don't know. It's, I think I don't. If they do a Birds of Prey sequel, I'd rather just not have Harley in it. Have it bring him back, or have Harley go over to the Gotham City Sirens.
Harley doesn't stay in one place for too long. It doesn't make sense for her character to team up.
She's
forever.
Already out of the Suicide Squad, apparently. So, you know, she's gone to the Birds of Prey now. Didn't last long.
Well, you know.
But then she'll be back in the soft reboot of Suicide Squad, probably.
It's not a reboot.
Whatever it is.
Okay.
Anyway, moving
on. So, Black Widow is our next one.
We did talk about that a little bit, but...
We have. So, what do you guys think about the supporting cast? Rachel Weisz, Florence Pugh, and David Harbour at this time.
David Harbour!
Yeah.
I kind of want to cosplay that. I don't want to pay for it, but I do want to wear it.
So, just to be clear, you want somebody else to make and or buy you the costume so that you can wear it.
Yeah, I thought that was clear.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure that for everybody listening, they understood.
No, the cast seems great. The movie looks really good. The music that they have going in the trailer is great. The way they changed the Marvel Studios cinematic, you know, it's all really good. It's all really, really good.
Unfortunately, we can't care about it at all.
That's the problem. Like, it looks like it's actually going to be fantastic. And that almost makes it harder.
Yeah. To be fair, every Marvel movie looks like it's going to be fantastic in the trailers. They haven't really made many bad trailers.
That's true.
So, it's...
But at the same time, they haven't really made many bad movies.
No, that's true. It is true. But I mean, I don't. When you're, how many of them have been fantastic, though? You know, how many trailers or how many movies have been fantastic in the Marvel Universe? Less than five,
like,
probably.
No, I think probably. I would say about 7 or 8 have been just stellar movies that I could rewatch all the time.
But they've all had fantastic trailers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of hoping that it's not that great, honestly, because I don't want to have them force feed us her resurrection so that she can have more movies.
So would you guys be okay with Florence Pugh taking over as Yelena and being part
of
the
team? If
she's
good in the movie, then yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
That's totally okay, cool. Fine. I have no problem with any of that. I just, I like...
Or David Harbour. Have him wear the cat suit.
Yeah.
I don't know that I want to see that.
Oh, okay.
I do. Straight up comic accuracy right there. Nope. That's what I want in my life.
The thing for me is I really like Natasha. I like Scarlett Johansson's version of that character, and I'm bummed that this is when she's finally getting her due, and that's not cool.
Her character has gotten the most disservice because, honestly, they had no idea what to do with her in Iron Man 2 other than some cool stunts. She finally got a little bit of backstory in Avengers. And then, you know, she plays second fiddle in Captain America 2. Her character completely switches sides in Civil War. Like, it just...
I really liked her in Winter Soldier. I don't know. I thought she was good. And...
Oh, no. I liked her a lot. It's
it wasn't her
you
movie,
know,
but
yeah,
she,
exactly.
Her character got a lot of development there.
I think that's where I'm feeling positive about the quality of the film, because this feels like that kind of movie. It's not the Russo brothers, right? But it's that kind of film. It's not some crazy super-powered villain, you know, or anything like that. It's more espionage, secret agent stuff, which I like. I like that kind of thing.
To be honest, I'm glad it's not the Russo brothers, because it really does seem like they hate Natasha. Between
I don't know. Winter Soldier, she was handled pretty well, and
right?
I thought...
But then
it was,
they
not
completely undid the Hulk and her attraction, and then they sidelined her for most of Infinity War, and they flip-flopped her in Civil War, and then Endgame they kill her off without telling anybody else on the Black Widow movie.
I mean, you make good points. I mean, right? We could spend a while dissecting all of that, I think. But what do you think of the trailers?
God, I'm so excited, because it's like... It's three women fighting. They're all badass, and they're talking to each other about something other than dudes, and I just love it.
In the trailer. We don't know. There
might
be some dude talk.
And that's fine. You're allowed to talk about dudes. But I love it. I love it so much. And I don't want to because I'm just going to get my heart broken. Just going to break my heart.
I did, going back to Birds of Prey for a second, I did read a thing that said that that a reviewer watched it and said that it was a dumb action movie, but that guys have got so many dumb action movies featuring guys that it's really nice to have a dumb action movie featuring women. And she asked, is this what guys feel like when they leave a theater seeing a dumb action movie of guys? Because I like it. So anyway, I thought that was really cool.
I mean, that's kind of how I felt after Ghostbusters. I was like, this wasn't great. But, you know, all these, I have sat through so many, like, dude, where's my car films. Like, I can't have one mediocre woman film.
But I think it's
you're getting more, though. That's good.
It's a really fair point, though, because you look at, like, the Furious saga, right, of those 1800 films. And they're all just ridiculous action movies. But now they're making $1 billion a piece, right? They don't have a strong statement. The entire premise of the franchise is family is important.
Buff dudes in cars. That's the whole thing, right? The whole premise of the franchise.
So
Bruce Willis has made what, 13 diehards?
Five or six?
But
six.
Like,
there's six diehards.
They had to drop, you know, Linda Hamilton and Sigourney Weaver from their franchises. They couldn't just let them get progressively worse and weirder. Like,
well, I think
that's not fair.
I think the problem there with Sigourney Weaver was the Alien franchise got so bad so fast that they just didn't want to touch it. Alien Resurrection is really, really bad.
I'm just saying.
She's not that, the problem.
You know, the 80s gave us two badass female action stars. And we've had a continuation of both their franchises.
Yeah.
But they stopped including them at a certain point.
Linda Hamilton was not a badass in the 80s. It wasn't until 91 when T2 came out.
Well, the whole reason she didn't come back, though, was because of her then ex-husband, James Cameron.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a little different, I think, because she just may not have wanted to work with him at the time.
But he didn't do 3, 4, 5, 6.
He didn't produce 3? He wasn't involved in 3 at all?
I don't think so.
I thought he produced it. Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Fair enough. I thought
anyway,
he produced
like,
it. But
I want the same thing as you guys. I want stupid action franchises.
I mean, intelligent ones are okay too. But yeah, I mean, at worst, if we're saying it's a stupid action movie, you know, like John Wick isn't, I mean, that's a tough comparison.
No,
John Wick
Wick's
is better
different
than that. But I mean, it at its core is just a really like action movie, constant
lethal
action
weapon.
Right.
Right. Like we didn't really touch on this yet, but they greenlit a fifth one.
Right.
With both of them.
Yeah.
Coming back. And
Danny
like,
Glover, who has played, his last few roles have been terminally ill grandpas, dementia ridden grandpas.
He's been too old for this shit longer than I've been alive.
It's true.
And
I mean, he's been a grandpa in basically in the Lethal Weapon movies for several movies.
The last 10 years. That's all of his parts.
But they're still going to make another one of those. I mean, look at The Expendables. Look
right
at those movies.
It's literally just what are the most badass dudes that we can get.
And put them
and
on
then
screen
we're also
going
to get a woman in the last one.
Yeah.
Right.
In the 15 years between Bad Boys 2 and Bad Boys for Life, why couldn't they have given Gabrielle Union a spinoff where it's like called Good Girls and she's just like this.
This podcast really, we changed the subject on
it
real quick.
This
now
is
it's
important.
All. Now.
This is important. I want my stupid action movies. That's why I really loved Bumblebee. Haley Steinfeld was a badass.
I really liked Bumblebee.
How
so
much cooler
good
would the first Expendables movie have been if they had Linda Hamilton, if they had Sigourney Weaver, and they had all these, they brought an equal amount of awesome women that exist in movies. They've happened. They're awesome.
Angelina Jolie was in Tomb Raider. She could have done it.
I mean, maybe those women just don't want to do bad movies. Because, I mean,
The Expendables was not a bad movie.
It's not a good movie.
Sure, but
I'm tired of aging actresses only doing movies like what Diane Keaton has been doing. The Book Club and the Pom Poms movie. Those are dumb, and I think those hurt women more than stupid action films. So,
well, look
like,
at Linda
I
Hamilton in the new Terminator.
She was so amazing.
She was great. She was really good in that.
If you got Linda Hamilton and Sigourney Weaver in the same movie, and for no reason they both had bazookas. I'm in.
That's true. I'd pay $10. Right?
Like, right there. I'd see it opening night.
You could just call it that. Weaver and Hamilton with bazookas. We would go.
I'm in.
Just have their faces on the poster, floating head faces on the poster. That's all you need.
Right. Absolutely. I would totally. And then, like you were saying, and Expendables with women, like Michelle Yao could be in it.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You know,
awesome.
Jet Li and Jackie Chan are in there or something. No, Jackie Chan's not
Jet Li
in there.
Jet Li was.
But not Jackie Chan.
One? Yeah.
Was he in any more?
He
than
wouldn't
the first
do
one?
It.
I'm not sure. I don't remember much about the second one.
I think I only watched the first one totally.
Yeah, you could get Uma Thurman and.
Well, who's the one that was in Kill Bill? Not Uma Thurman. The martial artist one that was.
So there was Lucy Liu.
Lucy Liu.
There was Vivica A. Fox.
Well, she's got her Elementary show right now. She's Well, she has a very stable, very successful show.
I think that show just ended, and she's on Why Women Kill now.
She is on Why Women Kill.
They could basically do a full Women Expendables at this point.
Totally.
They could even bring Ronda Rousey and have her be the.
Well, they talked
the
about
two.
That would be so. Cool.
Stallone talked about doing that actually,
but then it never went
anywhere.
It's just a bunch of people talking about it.
Well, I haven't. I'm wondering if I think Ocean's 8 was really good, but the box office wasn't great for it. And I'm wondering if they just took that as a metric.
It wasn't like a hit. It didn't exceed expectations, but it made back its budget and then some. It had a profit. Like
it was better than Ocean's 12.
Yeah.
I didn't see 13, so I can't say.
It's just frustrating.
Do you have to see the first 11 Ocean's movies to get Ocean's 12?
It's helpful.
Okay. Ocean's 1 probably is not very good.
It's old. It's really old. Like, it's not even a talkie.
Is it just called Ocean? I don't.
Ocean self.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay. So we have a few more minutes. We got 5-ish, 10 minutes if we want.
We can talk Wonder Woman 1984. We could talk Morbius.
Sonic the Hedgehog? You want to talk Sonic the Hedgehog? No.
That's our Valentine's date, dude.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's actually really fun. Like, I'm excited.
It looks cute. It really
does. Are we
reviewing
that?
No.
Okay, thank
you. Would you like to?
No, I would not.
Here's the thing. We were some of the ones that made fun of the way they looked. They changed it, so we're going to go give them our money.
He looks so good now.
I still think that was a marketing ploy.
Probably.
Look,
if it was,
whoever came up with that idea, that team that put that together, are some fucking geniuses, because it worked. I think it worked really, really well, and he looks great. That's my hot take on Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay. Is that a hot take, though? I think everybody agrees now.
Yeah. We're on board.
Well, I said it was a hot take, so.
That makes it a hot take?
Yeah. That's how it works. That's what Twitter does, right?
Hashtag
hot take. All right. So, we talked about the Morbius trailer, though, didn't we?
On a previous episode?
Yeah. We talked about all these trailers pretty much at one point or another.
Right.
I haven't rewatched the Morbius trailer. For some reason, I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
I'm kind of mad on that.
Actually,
one.
When I watched it today, I was a little more excited for it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anything about the character, but I missed the shot of like fully transformed Morbius the first time I watched
it. Oh, really?
When he like turns around, he's like the
he's
full
got
vampire
the, yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the
going
gray
on.
Skin and stuff.
It's cool. And the connection to Michael Keaton and the confusing MCU
Sony verse.
Not MCU stuff is interesting, but Jared Leto, love him or hate him, he's a good actor. And I mean, he's probably going to give this everything he's got. And I mean, I'm curious about it for sure.
I'm actually more excited about this than I was about Venom. And
I would say I am too, actually.
It actually is making me more excited for Venom 2 later this year, to be honest. Like, I think it's really cool stuff. And
I think if they follow the path that we kind of talked about, because of the end of Far From Home, they're setting up Spider-Man as kind of everybody thinks he's the bad guy, and then these guys are who they send after him. I think that's a really, really smart way of doing it. And
I agree.
If they follow that, that's about the only way they can really do a Sinister Six movie that makes any kind of sense. Otherwise, it's just going to be super forced. So
right. Like six randos team up just to beat on a teenager. Like that doesn't look good. So I agree.
My problem is I'm not really a big Jared Leto fan. He's a bad actor or anything. I just, it's not really my thing. And so when the like the coolest part of that trailer for me is when Michael Keaton shows up. It's just that's not a great sign for my interest in the film.
Well, if Nick Cage showed up, I mean, that would have been the highlight, right, too. I'm just saying, like, sometimes unexpected things can take the glory. It doesn't diminish rest of the trailer.
What I mean is, until that happened, I felt very meh about it. Like, okay, he's a vampire. I'd rather just see Blade. I like Blade.
This is a backwards Joker for me, where I don't really care for the actor, but I care for the character. So yeah. And I think Jared Leto has a really good way of disappearing into his roles, too. So I think while watching it, I can pretend that it's like that he personally doesn't creep
me out.
He does
disappear into his roles. So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully I'll be able to. It's like Gary Oldman when you don't realize it's Gary Oldman until like 30 minutes into the movie. You're like, right, what?
So many times.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hopefully it's that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
But
the bat scene in the cave looked really cool.
Yeah, it did.
And It looked like it's going to border on superhero and horror, and I think there's been so much talks about let's do that, but nobody's really pulled the trigger yet.
We got that one that's more superhero but also horror, then mm-hmm. we've got New Mutants coming out this year that's also more horror and less superhero. So I feel like we've got two of those, but kind of on different sides of the spectrum, so I'll be curious, you know, if either of them really resonate.
I agree.
Plus, then Doctor Strange is supposed to be more of a horror movie. So, of course, the original one was, too.
I obviously want to know more. I'm a little nervous that one requires WandaVision. Not that, like, I'm not going to watch that.
It also requires Loki. I really don't think it's quote-unquote requires. I think there's going to be good information in both the shows that feed into it, and it'll enhance your experience, but
I don't know. Was it Feige who said it? Whoever said it seemed like it was a pretty significant connection.
Feige has the ability to over-exaggerate a bit or lie when he has to, so
he's trying to get Disney Plus subscribers.
But that's a really shitty lie. That's not a lie to like not spoil a movie. That's like a really backhanded twisted lie.
Well, if
they
do it like the House of M storyline, where that's how they introduce mutants into the MCU, that's a pretty huge deal. Like,
it is.
You have to watch that, basically, or else you go, why are the X-Men now in in the movies? That doesn't make any sense.
Like, we all just want to slowly watch that bitch unravel and destroy the world. So.
I'm super excited for that. It's such a cool idea.
I feel bad for her.
Well, yeah, you should.
That's the whole point.
I know. I'm just not excited to see her lose her mind. I feel bad.
It's just like the Hulk, that her powers really get more intense the sadder she gets.
It's interesting to see a character like deal with grief and things like our tough issues. And, you know, we all handle that kind of thing in very different ways. And so it is always interesting for me. Some of my favorite video game parts have been the character dealing with grief and seeing how they deal with it. In movies, that makes me more excited for this show. It might be my number one Marvel thing this year that I'm looking forward to.
The more they explain it, the more interesting it sounds.
Right.
Like, legitimately. So I'm on board
and
with that.
Feige saying within the last, month that Scarlet Witch is currently the most powerful person in the MCU, like, that makes me super hyped for the show. We're gonna see some cool, strange stuff.
I'm telling you, she was going to beat Thanos by herself until he decided to bomb the whole army.
Everybody, he was going to wipe out everybody just to get her off of him.
Yeah, like, she had him all by herself. So I think that when you think about how Thor, Iron Man, and Cap got their asses kicked together as a team, that's significant. So,
I mean, one of my favorite scenes is her at the beginning of Civil War. She just picks up her coffee and she's like, you know, I can move stuff with my mind, right? Like, how nonchalant was that? Like, I wish I could do that.
Yeah, Civil War.
Yes.
Any other trailers you want to talk about tonight?
Oh, I think we can put a pin in it for now and go back to trailers another day.
Okay.
Maybe we need to have a full podcast on women in movies, because that was a good discussion.
It was.
And we didn't get much time to talk about those kind of things.
I'm on board.
So I did put some discussion type stuff on the schedule. I thought we could talk about our love-hate relationship with Disney. All three of us have discussed how them buying up everything is terrible, but at the same time, we love a lot of their content, so we can't stop.
Right.
So I thought that would be a nice...
I can't wait for Air Bud 6. Disney Plus exclusive.
Still playing basketball?
Yeah.
That's actually going to be in the MCU.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. He's going to join the Avengers. Oh,
man. No, they're Heralds of Galactus.
Oh, wow. Squirrel Girl is definitely going to be in that. I can feel it.
All right, look, if the MCU gets that, then I really think that Space Jam needs to be part of the DCEU.
Yes!
Okay, because...
And they have a big Marvel versus DC crossover where Air Bud takes on Space Jam. Man, we should write for these companies.
That's what it comes, it's Air Bud versus Bugs Bunny. That's what it's right. all come down to.
One-on-one.
Yes, done. All right. And then, like, at the end, it's Galactus versus LeBron James.
And Squirrel Girl wins.
Of course.
Actually, we win.
We do. That's right. We win. Yes. Oh, man. That's fantastic. Wait a minute. Hang on. So, in chat, Midnight Pearl just said that they got Air Bud, the movie, in a cereal box.
They must have had a lot of copies of that laying around they were trying to give away.
That's amazing. Because... What cereal? I want to know what cereal that was.
I know. When I was a kid, I got like tiny little plastic wind-up figures or right. something as a toy in a cereal, let alone Air Bud.
I can't remember the last
time.
The
toy would always get a little bit of crushed cereal right. in it that you could
and
never get out.
It would always smell like the cereal, supposedly. Yeah. I mean,
that's not a bad thing. I mean, I love
that. Oh, that's hilarious. So thank you All for right. that. What are we doing next week? What's our topic?
Okay, let me just check.
Is this the All cute right. the cute creatures thing?
Oh, it might be.
Rice Cute Krispies. Creatures. Midnight Pearl says it was Rice Krispies.
Nice.
So if you want to go back in time and get a free copy of Air Bud.
Yes.
I mean, that's tempting.
Next week is our battle for the cutest creatures appearing on screen. We still have not decided what creatures are yet.
Are we sticking just to film?
No, film
and TV.
And TV. Yeah. Okay.
We're trying to do that, but... We might have to have a sequel episode called Cutest Robots Found on Screen or something like that. So we're working
Bender,
on it.
Obviously.
Either way, we're each 25. Supposed to bring 10 to the table
what?
And then argue. Yeah.
That's a lot. 10's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean.
You've got this. You can figure it out. Okay.
We're going to have 30 creatures. How do we know nobody else is picking the other creatures?
Well, that's just it. There will be some overlap. Okay.
Just pick a lot of Fraggles.
I'm going to pick Mac from Mac and Me. I'm going to win, clearly.
You mean the McDonald's movie?
Yeah, exactly.
This episode went better than I anticipated.
Right? It was a lot of fun.
Mostly because we didn't actually talk about the subject matter that we were supposed to.
But we had fun, and that's what this is all about, is really having fun.
That was the real journey.
That was.
Play us out, Derek.
That was the real meaning. Yeah, exactly. That was the real meaning of the Fast Saga all along.
Exactly. We just wrote F9.
All right. So, hey, we're Screen Heroes in the Heroes Podcast Network. We've got a new promotion going on our Patreon, patreon.com/heroespodcasts. We have a premium tier. This will get you ad-free versions of all of our new content, starting from, like, I think it was last week. All of the shows are putting out their new episodes in an ad-free version if you join that tier. Otherwise, heroespodcast.com will get you access to every episode that we've ever done, along with all of our sibling shows. You can find us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter or at Heroes Podcasts on Facebook. Ryan is at Buster Props. Ray is at Siren Ray.
Woo.
I am at The Star Trek Dude. And you can find us at this place next week. Thanks for tuning in.